Hey there, fabulous teacher. Have you been wondering how to make writing time in your classroom more effective for your students? Do you want your students to love writing time? If so, I think it's time for you and I to start transforming your writing instruction. I'm Melissa Morrison, and I have a passion for helping teachers to feel confident in teaching writing and help them grow successful writers. I've worked with numerous teachers to guide them through this transformation, and in this podcast, I bring you the practical strategies you need to make writing the best time of your day. Let's get going.
Their children who are learning, and why is it any more helpful for them to only work in English when they don't even know it yet?
Research that shows the opposite, that it's actually more helpful because they can transfer those skills, those literacy skills to their second language. Mm-hmm. So by not just blocking it off and actually mm-hmm. using it as a bridge to transfer those skills, it's actually helping them.
Good.
Instead of cutting it off and saying English
right.
only.
Right, right. Okay. Yes. So awesome. Thank you. And so when you were talking, I'm also thinking, okay, so how do I make sure this little one knows that they can write in Spanish or in their language, you know? And That's where I feel like the translator comes in.
Oh yeah.
You know, that sort of thing.
Dr. Jose Medina has this practice that I use every year now. And at the beginning of the year, he says, okay, what languages do we have in here? What are our languages? Okay. Spanish, Somali, Swahili, Chinese, Arabic, whatever it is. And he like puts them on an anchor chart mm-hmm. and says, okay, whatever's in this box, you can use in my classroom. Whatever helps you to understand what's going on in this classroom, you can use in this classroom, and kind of encouraging that in saying, if you know Arabic and English, great, use that. Those are the tools in your tool belt, and even mm-hmm. maybe, you know, drawing a picture of whatever. But it's just something at the beginning of the year, where even it's not too late now to say, like, hey, this is important in this classroom, and I want you to keep it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I like it.
Thanks.
And I guess, you know, I feel like we kind of already maybe have answered this, but I was also just thinking, especially for these, you know, a kindergartner, let's say, or even a first grader mm-hmm. who comes in and they don't write in their own language, mm-hmm. is that different at all? To me, it's crazy to think that their first language to write in might be a second language.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's really crazy. So one thing I would say is, well, so you kind of have two kind of groups of these kind of students. Mm-hmm. So you have the students who, you know, maybe Spanish is probably the most prevalent. They speak Spanish at home, but they've been here since kindergarten and haven't had education in Spanish. Mm-hmm. Whereas we have also students who, you know, move maybe fourth grade, fifth grade, even 11th mm-hmm. grade, who have never had education. Mm-hmm. And so this is their first time in school. So those, I would say those are probably two different mm-hmm. categories I would put. But we do know that oral language develops before written language. So really using, so the narrative piece, like using time in class to have them speak and have them like tell their stories, mm-hmm. talk about what they're going to write or talk about what they are writing. Like mm-hmm. that's so important. even with students who don't have education in their first language, mm-hmm. who don't have literacy in their first mm-hmm. language. Mm-hmm. Using that time to speak is huge. And, you know, even if you have, for example, two Spanish speakers, having them talk in Spanish about their story, like that will help them as they start to create a story. Mm-hmm. These students who are not writing in their, if you have a SLIF student who is a student with limited or interrupted formal education, yes, that student hasn't had the literacy in their first language. So it will be harder because they don't have they can't transfer those skills. Mm-hmm. They are learning their first language. They're learning literacy in their second language, like you said.
Right.
So that does take a lot more patience and a lot more like one-on-one time with a student. And I don't know how many students you have in the schools that you've worked in, but Yeah, it does take longer. It takes longer for them to acquire literacy, but you know, it's not like they're hopeless. It just takes a little bit longer time because they don't have those skills to transfer. But pictures transcend culture, like transcend language. I mean, you could have students drawing what their story is. You could have students, you know, like giving them a word. So if they draw, again, like they're on the beach. Okay, so let's label this. Okay, we can sit and label together, and helping them maybe with a word bank or just giving them language. But if they can express themselves and kind of develop that oral language, like that's really important either way.
Okay. Yeah, and I love that you talk about speaking first because it is so important for every writer of any language of any age to use that as a planning and thinking part of their process even before or after they write to be able to share and revise and all of that. Yeah. And so it's something that we want them to do anyway. So it's something we should do, and it's a simple thing, I think, to instate. And then I was thinking pictures as well, and even for our older students, drawing the pictures. And honestly, one of the things that I come across with writing instruction in general is that I often find that we're more focused on the transcription part of writing and not the composing part of writing and not the ideas and all of that. And so that helps to cover that issue because we know that they are, like you said, everyone's a storyteller, right? And so that is one of the big parts of it. And whether you're telling a story or you're teaching about something and it's informational or you're sharing your opinion, the speaking part does come first, and it can come first, and it can really help our writers to get ideas out, to understand the genre, and all of that. So
The things that you're already promoting, like a mini lesson, like that, not, you know, speaking for 40 minutes and then having them write, you know, like having a short mini lesson where there's a transferable skill that I can practice on. Also, mentor texts are huge, like having them have mentor texts on their level where they can see, okay, this is what I can do and transfer those skills. To take it a little bit further, that probably only link. English learners would need, or students struggling, having sentence frames, having sentence stems. So, like the opinion piece, you know, like I agree or I disagree, or you know, one reason why, one reason, da da da, you know, like one idea. Yeah, having those sentence frames so that it kind of eases their cognitive load because, you know, thinking in a second language all day long is really hard. And if there's anything you can just kind of ease the cognitive load so their brain can just focus on what you want them to do, like the writing piece, then like do it.
Thank you. And I can imagine that oftentimes you maybe get surprised or are surprised by how quickly students catch on to English. And I was just writing about this the other day about how I was talking about the reading and writing connection, but I was saying how there's always all these things happening beneath the surface that these children are, you know, all these things are coming at them all day long. And it's not even just in school, it's everywhere. And things are starting to click and work together, and you don't see it show quickly all the time, or when you think it's going to come. But then at some point, there is going to be more on the page than you expected, or they're going to be, you know, I'm thinking our English language learners are going to be speaking, you know, something in English more than they were before. And so I was just
It
curious,
can be
like,
a
how that.
slow, I mean, it's definitely like it comes in, but it can be a slow pro, like language acquisition isn't like fast food, you know, like boom, 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 done. And there is something called the silent period. So if a student comes as a newcomer, they could go through a silent period where they don't talk. They're kind of absorbing the language, if you will, just like a baby would, you know, like you don't expect a baby to come out of the womb talking. Like you kind of have a time where they listen, 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 then eventually they start creating their own language. And it's the same with newcomers. So if you have a newcomer you've had them for like a month and they still aren't talking, like, just kind of be patient with that mm-hmm. student. They mm-hmm. are like, they're still acquiring language,
right?
Even if they're not talking right mm-hmm. now. So,
right. Right. Yes, absolutely. And I can imagine being afraid of saying something wrong.
Oh yeah. The risk is high.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And that's the same with writing, you know, right. for all of our students, the risk is right. so high as soon as you mm-hmm. put that down on paper. Mm-hmm. So that safety and having everyone feel so valued is so right. important. One other thing that I was thinking about is that we have to meet our students where they are. And this is not just for lower level students. It's for all the grade levels. However, I find it to be a huge obstacle in the kindergarten and first grade level, where this expectation of what the student should be doing as a writer is really forefront in a teacher's mind. And it's not their fault. It could be coming mm-hmm. from all sorts of places. But I always say that it doesn't matter where you want to get them if you don't know where they are. Right. And you have to go along the stages of writing development
right.
for every writer. Right. If you want them to write a sentence, but they're not writing letters,
right,
they're not going to write a sentence. And so right. I think it might be something to remember in this area as well, because not only do the student, they have to meet you where you are as mm-hmm. the teacher mm-hmm. who's learning yeah. this, right? And so you have to meet them where they are. And it's going to be this learning process for a lot of our teachers right. too. And they have to give themselves grace with that mm-hmm. as well. But that your student is where they are. And so you have mm-hmm. to take the steps that you need to take right. for them.
Right. And just having the mindset of like that they do have assets. I mean, even if mm-hmm. they don't know how to write a word, like mm-hmm. they know things, like they're right. not coming to you with a blank slate. Mm-hmm. Like they deserve to be treated with dignity and respect mm-hmm. because they have assets. And I think there are some bad eggs that, you know, that maybe they don't want the student in their classroom and that, mm-hmm. you know, and that's heartbreaking for me. Right. I don't think that's the majority of teachers. Mm-hmm. But just, yeah, that this student has dignity, has respect, even if they don't speak your language, even mm-hmm. if they've never been in school before, like they are coming with assets.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they have things that we just don't even know right. what they are, right? We have just right. have to find a way to get it out of them. And that's true for so many of our writers, that we just don't right. know what they have and we have to find a way to get it out. So. Right. Oh, goodness. I know we could just talk for so long. And I know this was very helpful, and I can't promise I won't be asking you on again, but what would you like to leave our listeners with?
Just the encouragement that you're doing it. Like, it's hard. It's mm-hmm. hard when you've never been trained. It's easy to feel like you're not doing a good job or that you're overwhelmed Yeah, that I really just value the fact that you're there for that student mm-hmm. and that you, just creating a space where they feel welcome. Like, that is so much, obviously the academic piece is important, but like that is so good for language learning. And I just, mm-hmm. I really appreciate you being there for that student. And mm-hmm. just to encourage teachers that like what you're doing is good work. That's
yes.
huge.
Yes. And thank you for that. And I agree. Teachers have so many things that they have to figure out on their own. Mm-hmm. And then they get upset with themselves when they don't know what to do. And right. it's like, and yes, you're the teacher and you're supposed to be helping your students. However, there aren't many jobs where you're there Everything. Without training on right. all these things that you're doing. Right. So, right. Wonderful. Well, oh my gosh, it's been so wonderful to talk to you. Good. And yes, I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me again.
And yes, so what, I know you are on Instagram, so where, mm-hmm. what is your handle?
Yeah, my Instagram handle is RisaWoods_, so RisaWoods_. And that's the best way to reach me right now. So if you okay. ever have a question, just shoot me a DM and I will try to answer it as best as possible.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah. And yes, check it out. Check out all of her reels. They are so helpful. You will learn something for sure. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey again, I am so happy to have had you listen in again today. I would like to ask a little favor. If you're enjoying the podcast, could you take a moment to go wherever it is that you listen and write a review and tell others what you find so great about these episodes? I would love to be able to share it with more teachers to help them in their writing instruction, just as hopefully I've been helping you. Thank you so much.